I want to talk about, as thankful people, how appreciative we should be that God does not look on the outward appearance of us or our behavior, and that God always looks on the inside. God looks on the heart. And 1 Samuel 16 is the story of Samuel coming to anoint David as the future king. And the story is that the best looking of the crowd comes before Samuel. The tall and the brave and the ones that appear to have the most muscle and brawn and intelligence. But as each one comes by, Samuel just shakes his head and he says, "No, this is not the one." And in verse 7, we find the instruction that God has given to Samuel. The instruction is, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. Now, there's some real meaning here. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Septuagint reads this way, that God does not see as man sees. Another version says, it is not by the appearance of man by which God judges. And the Latin Vulgate, it reads this way, nor do I judge according to the looks of a man. So as one by one these men passed before Samuel, these men were to be designated, a man was to be chosen from these men who would become the future king of Israel. You know the story, it would come down to the youngest son of Jesse, and his name would be David. He would be of good stature, and he would be, as the Bible says, a handsome young man. But the moral of the whole story here is that God really looks at what's inside of a person. So Samuel anoints David, the youngest of all these sons, and it's interesting to me that just a few verses over from here, we find the great challenge of Goliath coming to this young kid, David. But that's a story for another day. As thankful people, David was part of a group of... David was part of a family who had seen the Lord's blessings, but he was also part of a family that did not fully understand how God works. And I think we may be that way today. It's not always easy for us to make confession. And it's not always easy for us as thankful people to be thankful in all things as God wants us to be. But I want you to take home from our lesson today, the idea that God is not looking on the outward appearance of a person, nor either is God looking on the behavior of a person. Now listen to me. But God's looking on the inside. God is able to judge motive. Will you turn with me to the New Testament? And I would like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 17. I don't know exactly when that we studied this passage of Scripture here, and it really doesn't matter. I think it's appropriate today. But here in Luke 17 and in verse 11, I begin the story here of the 10 lepers who came toward Christ. And it says in verse 13 that these 10 lepers lifted up their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, when Jesus looked at that group of 10 lepers, their outward appearance was not very inviting. I read the story this week of a man who he went to visit a leper colony. No, he went to visit a leper sanitarium. And he felt that God was calling him to a work of mission. But as he approached the gate, he was praying, God, how am I going to be able to do this? Because the smell and the people inside that he could see, it just was not very inviting at all. And that's all I want to say about that. But as he went in and he saw the lepers in different stages of that disease, God placed upon him the burden of working there, and he did. But what I read from the experience was that when he sings now the song, Count Your Many Blessings One by One, he doesn't sing it the same way that he did before. Now, there's a good lesson there for all of us. When you've walked in someone else's experiences and you don't necessarily endure what they endure, you can certainly be thankful with genuine thankfulness for what you have in life. But here in the story in Luke 17 are these 10 men who are standing afar off, and they just give this simple cry before Jesus. Lord Jesus, they say, have mercy on us. Verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he was seeing past the noses that were missing. He was looking past the pieces of the ear that were falling off. He was looking beyond all of that outward appearance, and he was seeing the potential of their human hearts. I think he does that to us today. I happen to be working right now with some people who could sit in these pews just like you. They could sing the same songs as you sing, read the same scripture, hold the nice clean Bibles just like you hold on Sabbath morning. But the thought is, I need forgiveness. I'm not good enough. And I'm praying that God will help us to get past that position of the human heart. It is very real, believe me. I'm taking the position that God is looking beyond anything that we've committed as an act of sin in the past. And God is moving us forward toward a life of bright future. That's the direction that I want to go. And as thankful people, believing and rejoicing in the fact that God's not looking at the past or even our sins of the present, God's looking at his ability to change the human heart. And he's saying to each person, you can be clean. I will embrace you. I will hold you. I will hold your hand. I will walk with you all the way at last until we go through the gates into the kingdom. Now in verse 14, the Bible says here that when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Some interesting theology here. It's not really the primary application of what Jesus is teaching us, but nevertheless, it's not to be denied. You have been studying out of the book of Romans that you are made righteous, not by the absence of sin in your life, but you are made righteous because he declares you righteous. Would anybody agree? That's the joy and the thankfulness that we can possess as a child of faith. Jesus says to those lepers, when their lives are filled with tremendous sin, he says, I'm going to give you what you asked for. And with the idea of healing, as you well know, comes the idea of cleansing of the human heart. He says, you can be clean, you can be well, you can be whole. And as he said, though, go and show yourselves to the priest. It was when they acted on faith, obeying Christ, that it began to happen. The story would be totally different if one or two or four or five of those men would have said, this is stupid, this is crazy, I don't want any part of this. And they would have gone somewhere else instead of following the instruction of Christ. But as you stay with the story, surely there was more than one that was thankful in the group. But there was one man that came back, and he just in his own way was saying, I'm thankful that I'm healed. Now, you don't have all the conversation, as we often miss sometimes in translations, but here in the story, there must have been a deeper conversation between this one man and Christ. And Jesus asked him the question, where are the others? I'm sure there were some good answers. Maybe they went to a family reunion. Maybe they went to a sale on Black Friday. Well, I don't know what day it was. Anyway, good reasons. Maybe better explained as good excuses. I just wish that all 10 of those people, those examples of the mighty restoring power of Jesus, would have returned back to him and said, thank you for making us well, and thank you for making us whole. It says right here, this one man, he fell down and he began to give the Lord thanks. And Jesus says to him, listen, I love you, I care for you. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Now, this man knew what to be thankful for. I asked an 8-year-old girl just yesterday, blonde hair and blue eyes, bouncing all over the room, and I said, hey, can you understand what it means to be thankful? And she stopped, and I said, tell me one thing that you are thankful for. I really thought she would say food or toys. You know what she said to me? She said, my family. I just melted. I couldn't help it. What a sweet, clear, concise answer. And as thankful people today, maybe we really have a lot more things to be thankful for than we can see. Maybe we are looking on the outward appearance more than we are looking on the heart. Take my challenge. Look for things today that are unseen in people to be able to appreciate in that person. And I think you will be the better off for it. I'd like to transition with a funny story. It's not a true story, but it will move us toward our closing hymn. There was a man cutting meat in a butcher shop. And a dog comes into the shop. He has a purse in his mouth. And the butcher says, "Hello, dog. Do you want some meat?" And the dog drops the purse and says, "Woof, woof." Have y'all heard this story already? And the butcher says, "What kind of meat do you want? Do you want chicken? You want turkey? You want some lamb? You want some beef?" And the dog goes, "Woof, woof." A little louder than I did. So the butcher says, "How much do you want? A pound?" And the dog just wags his tail and really, "Woof, woof, woof." So the butcher cuts it off for him, wraps it up. He takes the money from the purse, puts the meat down in the purse, and the dog picks it up in his mouth, and the butcher lets him out the door, but the butcher thinks, I want to see where this dog goes. So he follows the dog to the door of a house, and the dog starts scratching on the door. Now, I'm telling you this story because sometimes we misinterpret what we want to be thankful for. The butcher stands on the porch with a dog. The dog's scratching the door. The man opens the door from inside. And the dog drops the purse with the meat in it and looks up at his master. And the master just jumps all over that dog. "What is wrong with you? Why are you so forgetful?" And the butcher can't stand it. This is the most intelligent dog he's ever seen. So he just throws up his hand. He's ready to fight the guy. He says, "What's wrong with you? This is one of the most intelligent dogs I've ever seen. You should be thankful to have a dog like this." And the man says, "You don't understand. This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key." That's an interesting story, especially one to tell at church. But as thankful people, sometimes I know we become confused as to what we need to be thankful for. I want you to look on what's on the inside of a person rather than what's in the outward behavior of people. That's the way Jesus did it. And I want to follow his example. How about you?